All right, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. It's the Kraz Files podcast with Adam Whiff, hit 9th of August 2024. Author and researcher Shannon Rowan is plugging in with me on the podcast today to cover some really important information that I'm sure everyone will be wanting to hear. And so really, really incredible times indeed with everything that is happening all over the world. And there's fires, you know, spot fires everywhere you look. Spot fires of tyranny going on. It's amazing what I'm seeing happening, but we just have to hold the line and move forward, stay positive, do the best we can. And it's important that we continue independent podcasting like this because, you know, it's real independent podcasting, and it's, you know, it's important that we are here to keep our conversations going. And I've been doing this since 2015, and it's great to be at least fairly frequently hooking up with my guests like Shannon, so we can keep our discussions rolling and talk about her great work and books and everything. And there's so much happening because Shannon's over in California. I'm obviously here on the coast in Sydney, Australia, and it's good to get those perspectives about, you know, what's going on over there, what's happening here. It really is so important we keep discussing things because what I'm seeing now very, very strongly, especially with the UK, is censorship. They want to censor online, social media. They're really coming in strong with this. We saw it in Australia with the invention of the eSafety Karen Commissioner, how they wanted to reach out across the internet, even into America and other countries, and basically pull stuff offline, basically tell people what they can and can't see and consume and post and share. And so this is now happening in the UK. One minute you've got a right, next minute these guys are threatening people, even in other countries, that if you post something, you can be criminally prosecuted, and they want to take you from your country and bring you over to the UK to prosecute you. This is how desperate they're getting. So I have been saying this for quite a long time now, that what they're going to do as this great reset comes in, you know, the Agenda 2030, these morons over there in Davos having these meetings, as they do, they want to bring in heavy censorship. That's their next big one, I think, to criminalize what we're doing. So probably the big, you know, mainstream alternative media will be fine because most of them are shills. And I'm guessing the big corporate media and their prostitutes will be fine because they're shills. So it's important to have these small independent podcasts going along, you know, to break down everything that we're seeing because, you know, we're just here on the ground doing it. And so it's important that we continue. So please get onto krazfiles.com. That's my main website, and there's always plenty going up. And for folks out there that get these kinds of podcasts on the RSS feed, make sure you go back to the website because, for example, today all Shannon's information will be up there, the books, how to get the books if you're in the US, if you're in Australia, all that kind of important links that I add onto the podcast description are in there. So please share that and get back there and contact Shannon. The details are all there, her website, everything. So important you do that. If you want to support me here on the ground, best way is membership. I don't sell anything. I've got no affiliates. I don't have any pop-ups, no ads, nothing. I got a very small amount of just members over there on Buy Me a Coffee platform. It's $5 Australian a month. I've brought it down, so $3 something US. It's really not much. I think it's $50 a year, and that creates a members community over on Buy Me a Coffee, which has been going really well, and it's a solid platform, and it's been really secure, and that goes through Stripe, so they're great. It's really secure payment system, and that supports me to keep the website hosting paid for everything and to continue here. So contact me anytime, of course. Click on one of the members banners on the website and sign up over there. It really helps. And I'm doing the members Night Watch podcast almost every night that I'm not on with my guests. I did one last night. I've been breaking down what's happening in the UK. I think I've done about 5 members podcasts, playing clips and breaking all that down as I'm seeing it in real time. So it's kind of like a nightly news wrap up for the Kraz Files members that you get, and those get emailed out to you so you can listen to them. So please support real independent media and what we're doing here on the ground. Now, Shannon, you just messaged me on Skype talking about information you wanted to cover, looking at the wind farms and the turbines that we were covering on last podcast. And I did mention to you how important this is, because it is actually a subject that is going to blow here in Australia, because it's people can't believe almost what they're seeing. The videos and the footage and the photos you see of what they're doing to the Australian environment and our landscape is horrific. I mean, it's not even horrific. And now they're wanting to put them on our coastline. They're given this Chris Bowen, which is some environmental minister guy in Australia, is an absolute idiot. This guy's the biggest idiot you could ever see. Him and his Albanese and all these morons, what they're doing is unbelievable. They're trying to pretend that they're green, and they're trying to pretend that they're saving the environment, but they're absolutely annihilating it. And now they've given approval to put all these terrible things off our coastline, going south and everything, right where the whales migrate. All this cabling come out, we talked about all this crap. Everyone says they're the most ugliest things. They're a blight on our environment. To see the wet tropics areas of North Queensland right on World Heritage rainforest areas. I mean, these areas are where you have things like tree kangaroos and this kind of stuff. I mean, this is beautiful. This is going up to the Barrier Reef. They're just bulldozing it, and they're dragging all these massive turbine towers and batteries and roadways. They're just burning the whole place down. They're putting these disgraceful things up. There's not even enough wind to run the bloody things. So this is now, because as I was talking on the last podcast, this incoming government of the Liberals want to do some nuclear power stations and stop this, which I would have to support. And I think Australians do. It's common sense, because we can't keep going down this road with all the batteries and stuff. It's a disgrace. And so it's going to be a massive blow up election issue. People are getting angry about it. Small communities, fishing communities, are getting angry about it. They don't want it there, and they're going to do it anyway. And so this is going to be a big blow up in Australia. And I think we're on that time when we need to get important information out about what this is and what's going on. So obviously, you know, yourself, you're doing a lot of research on this. So let's begin the podcast tonight or today for you, and talk about this a little bit, so we can get this podcast out to the Australian public and the world about what these things are and what's going on and how concerned we need to be.
Yeah.
And welcome to the podcast.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Adam. Nice to be on. I wanted to start off by saying I was one of those people who was duped like a long time ago, you know, but I used to think, wind would be great. Like, why don't we do wind and solar? That'd be green, clean, you know, sustainable, renewable. And we've been messaged with this forever, right? We're all like conditioned to believe in this lie. It's a complete lie. And I'm not even going to argue about the climate change thing right now, because honestly, if you believe that, you will also be against this, because the so-called, you know, carbon footprint of this stuff is enormous, right? So none of the things they're saying, it doesn't stop dependency on fossil fuels. It doesn't replace it. It actually increases it. So, and in fact, what I've been learning about wind in particular is that there's really like a negative power that's generated, negative power. So it doesn't benefit anybody in any way, shape, or form. It's completely destructive. In fact, I was just learning that it could be a cause for massive droughts, because it will actually contribute somehow. It'll like steal moisture and create drought. So that's something to look forward to. Like, we don't have enough of that going on already, right? So, habitat destruction, especially Australia has been targeted, but this is spreading quickly like some kind of disease. I mean, this is the real pandemic happening right now. Our Pacific Northwest is now under attack. You know, this permitting agency is just handing out these permits right and left. They're leasing, you know, ocean area to like the highest bidder. They're not doing any environmental reviews or anything. They're saying they don't see any significant impact, you know, happening based on their computer models, but there's something called ocean upwelling, that is like where all the nutrients come up to the surface with plankton and everything. And this, these turbines change that. And they actually like heat the surface of the ocean that needs to be cooler there and will kill all of that. Who knows? Nobody knows how destructive yet. We know so far the turbines on the East Coast have been a total disaster. They keep breaking off the blades and the debris washes ashore. It's polluting all the beaches in like New Jersey and New York and some other places.
Setting on fire too, Shannon, right?
They're setting on fire.
They explode.
But on land, there, yeah, a lot of these fires, they get underreported in the news, of course. You don't see it in the mainstream news at all. But like the craziest thing with these to me is that they're like lightning magnets, right? So they clear this whole area, and then they're massive, and then they attract lightning. So the ones that are going to be offshore are going to be more than 1,000 feet tall. They've never done them that tall before. So far, though, they have been in the several hundreds of feet. They're just getting taller and bigger and stupider, you know, and more wasteful. There's mining involved. There's a lot of steel, concrete, all these things that use fossil fuel to produce, right? And then transportation, and then rare earth mineral mining, conflict mineral mining, you know, all this is involved in. And then actually won't last more than like a decade. So then they have to be decommissioned. Nobody knows what to do with the things. So they're dumping them in, you know, areas, hoping nobody sees them. And yeah, but they want thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of these things. And they're not getting like any kind of, they're bypassing all the environmental laws. So what's happening for you in like Queensland, North Queensland in particular, like you said, near the Great Barrier Reef, where there's like, you know, supposed to be protected. So they're using that great divide, the ridge line, because, you know, like you said, there's not really any wind there. So it's like tropical up there, right? There's hardly any wind. But they think it's a great place to put these things. And like this land has been, people have fought a long time to protect that wilderness. And people have actually stopped cell towers from going up there is what I was reading about. But you can, if you call it sustainable and green energy, you don't have to, you can just get around all of that. They're killing, you know, koala massacre. I mean, you sent me some of that information. I looked into it a bit more. There's several incidences where the koala habitat's being decimated. And that's like basically illegal. Nobody else can do that for any other reason. But if you say it's going to be a wind farm, you know, then you have the green light to do whatever. So, you know, clearing thousands of acres, koala habitat, even like blunt force trauma to koalas, back of their skull. If you find them there while you're during construction and they're injured, you just have to, there's directives for killing them. And one of these projects, that's the Clark Creek one. So there's just been, you know, and people get angry, but not the people who were like using the koala as their reason for not, you know, the Greens were always like, oh, the koala, right? But, and don't kill the koala and don't destroy the habitat unless it's something they want to go through. And then suddenly it's fine to kill the koalas. And it's not a problem. It's not just koalas, a lot of other, you know, small mammals, all kinds of sizes and reptiles. And yeah, they just like clear cut these forests, beautiful forests, you know, pristine, like some of them never logged, I think, or anything. And they just are going through and raising them, and they have plans to do more and more and more of this. And then you've got these turbines. So they want to put them on the ridge line because they're like, they figure there might be some wind up there. They don't have any real data to even go on to say, you know, what's going to happen. But, you know, what people don't realize, too, is this is intermittent kind of power. Like if you use sun or wind, it's intermittent. So it depends if there's wind out and sun out, the things are even going to generate anything. And so when they're not able to do it naturally, they use some backup power and make them turn, you know, with using fossil fuels that they burn somewhere. But again, the overall, like, you know, if you want to call it carbon footprint, I'm just going to call it like pollution factor, destruction factor, is so large that like the energy that you use, the fuels you burn to create these monsters, like it's more than it's ever gonna output. And so they're completely pointless. So to me, when I realized that, like really realized that these are pointless in terms of getting us any new energy sources, and they're so bent on like pushing them and getting them everywhere. I mean, they want thousands of them offshore on the West Coast here, even my town, you know, is targeted. So far, there's just been like there's been some debate and like seems like people are trying to block it. But there's all these more powerful players that are really pushing for it, because what they see is it's all subsidized. So they're just going to take our money and run. Basically, it's a Ponzi scheme. They take our money, they get the government, you know, subsidies, which is taxpayer money. And then the thing doesn't work in 10 years or whatever, you know, for a few years, it starts to show it doesn't work. And then they're out of there and they're on to some other scheme. You know, they don't care at the cost of the environment or to us, because it's going to impoverish. This is impoverishing people more than before. Like, this is going to be, I mean, higher energy costs means you can't heat your home or cook your food or whatever you need to do. And then, you know, not more energy and not any less reliance on, you know, so-called fossil fuels. So nothing's changing except for things are getting worse. So no benefit to the people. Just, again, people, basically, they're just stealing our money and running, cut and run, you know. And that's the model. And that's why I think it's amping up so much. Like, suddenly it's like there are something like 30,000 permits in the process right now for 30,000 turbines in our country offshore. 30,000. Those are the permits that are under review or something right now. Like, that's an insane amount. You know, where is this going to come from? They don't even have, do we even have the resources to do this? You know, and they're shipping these blades like from China over here and everything. I mean, think about that aspect of it. So, again, like total greenwashing this and convincing people we have to do it because, you know, scaring us into like the climate crisis that we're not going to have, or the, you know, peak oil idea or whatever. We're not going to be able to have these other sources. So we have to do this. And like, even, you know, some environmentalists are on the side of, you know, at least they're propped up to be on the side of it. I don't know if they're, I wouldn't call them true environmentalists, but like, they're also, the other big thing about wind turbines is they kill birds, like millions of them probably. I mean, we don't even have a real accurate estimate, because they're, you know, they also tweak the data on that. They pay out, you know, pay for people. They hand select their own, you know, bird surveyors, but independent surveyors always find more bird deaths, bat deaths, you know, endangered species like raptors, like, you know, eagles, because they get caught in the, I mean, they're basically like machetes in the sky, you know, they're spinning machetes and they're massacring.
Yeah, it's like a ninja. Yeah. Like a ninja in the sky, just waving around swords.
Yeah, right. And that's a very unnatural feature. Okay, so I want to get away from ever calling them windmills or wind farms to make it sound all innocuous and quaint. It's not the old Dutch windmills and wind farms and the paintings and the, you know, these are not your great grandparents' windmills, which were like what, 30 feet high or something. These are colossal monsters. They have nothing. I mean, it's one thing to have a tiny windmill in your backyard. You know, it's another thing to have these like enormous beasts that are like, that don't even make any sense in terms of their engineering, you know, because we said they're constantly getting hit by lightning, and not even just lightning, but wind. They can't handle high wind. So then they break off and they catch on fire, and then they fall. The whole thing's like, fall to the ground on fire, you know, all over the place. This is happening half the time. If it's not enough wind, they don't turn either. So they have to have just the right amount of wind, you know, which like never happens. But when they alter like, you know, weather patterns because of like pushing wind unnaturally around and absorbing moisture. So that's going to have an effect. So I really think in terms of like the sinister aspect of this is there's a couple of things. I didn't even hit on the infrasound yet, you know, and that that noise pollution that harms us physically and harms, and it also scares away wildlife. And, you know, so this is like, and bats, more bats, twice as many bats get killed by these things than birds. And like, we need more bats. Like, bats are endangered all over the world. So our pollinators, the bats that eat the mosquitoes for us, are dying off in droves because of these. So every time you erect more, but some of these environmentalists want to say, well, yeah, this looks all really kind of bad right now, but we got to build them anyway, because more birds are going to die if we don't do anything. And the climate crisis. But again, if you want to argue that, which we could have a debate about that another time, But even if you argue that, it's not, again, it's not replacing fossil fuels, using more fossil fuels. So if you want to say that, so actually speeding up your climate crisis, then, you know, and you're going to create even more havoc and more bird deaths by putting these things up besides the ones they actually, because they kill them like directly and they kill them indirectly by habitat loss, habitat destruction, you know, building roads, clearing forests. They try to avoid this, you know, they don't like the sounds, so they try to avoid them. But, you know, others just end up getting caught in the blades and just hit with them and just knocked down, you know, 1,000 feet to their deaths. It's just so sad. I've seen videos, you know, of this actually in action, and it's just the worst.
I saw a video recently. It was just so sad of, I believe it was a wedge-tailed eagle.
Yeah.
So they're saying that these wind turbines are killing the birds of prey in Australia. Mm-hmm. And actually the endangered Tasmanian wedge-tailed eagles. And I mean, they're kind of giving a figure of 10,000 birds annually by these bloody things. But there was a video someone put up on X, and it was a big wedge-tailed eagle in Australia getting hit up there by one of these things, and it just falls, motion, like dead maybe in the air. I don't know. And it just falls and falls and falls so far, and it just plonk on the ground. And you're like, gee, that's protecting the environment.
That's
wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris Bowen. That's absolutely fantastic. Thanks, Greens.
Let's destroy
that's wonderful.
The environment to help them, you know, to save the environment. Like, and it
Holy
doesn't.
Holy cow. I mean, you should see these things, Shannon, the wedge-tailed eagles.
Yeah.
You should see Australia's eagles. I mean, they're absolutely magnificent creatures when you're up close, if you can see some of these. And they're so endangered. It's just horrible. To see something like that. Well, these people, I mean, what do you think? Like, what's going on with these actual companies? They're not even Australian or American owned. Like, they're just coming in, aren't they? So they don't have any care. They're just coming in and setting up. They don't care about this country or your country. They're just setting this stuff up. It's quite unbelievable. I think a lot of people too are refusing to acknowledge the batteries that they're bearing as well. And that's all got to go in. But I did see a very good documentary that was on television here, and a guy is documenting and filming it. It was horrible to watch this. It was very hard to watch how they're just to see them bulldoze the wet tropics and just like just bulldozing it. Just like huge piles of tropical rainforest that's never been touched. Just bulldozed over these cliffs. They don't even clean it up. They're just throwing it everywhere. And to see the size of these turbines, the towers of them, to see the size of those and the size of the trucks and how they have to build these roads in. I mean, it's phenomenal, the damage and the size, the pure size to see these things being driven through these small towns.
I know.
And how just they're erecting them. It's crazy.
Yeah, one blade on this like massive truck that's really long. Yeah, I know.
Jesus.
It's just insane. It's one of the most insane things I think I've ever heard of in my life, honestly, and I'm having to witness now. It's like, and the fact that this is allowed to happen, that this is happening, just shows, it just seems to highlight how powerless we are to stop.
Yeah.
Maniacs, like they have that much power. Like, where's our democracies that we're supposed to be living in?
Well, they're doing what they want now.
Anything. They do whatever they want. They flaunt it in front of us. And like you said, it's, I think Korean companies, some of them are like, they're just all these different from different countries, bring their own people. They don't provide jobs for anyone either. Oh. They bring their own people in, you know. It's like, but they get to keep saying, because the public, all the public news, you know how hard it was, first of all, to try to research this. I luckily had saved some files from years ago when I looked into this. I was first looking into it, and I dug those up, and then that kind of got me back with those to those websites that are now not in the search engines anymore. Like the big websites where they're, one's called Stop These Things. That's an Australian one. And then we have one here that's called Wind Watch. And I didn't remember the names of them. So they're really good resource, you know, an index with a lot of different articles and everything. But I couldn't find them when I was just searching this. I was trying to search every kind of different way I could, like to see anything against, like, criticizing these things. You can't find any critiques.
Oh.
Like, yeah, they buried it. There's no critiques. It's all, like, how positive, how great it is, and how we have to do this. Like,
yeah, that's Google now.
That's all the search engines.
All the search engines now. All of them. They've buried everything. It's phenomenal times. I mean, even they were saying in the US, and I tried it here in Australia, if you just, I was just typing in Trump news. Like, so you're typing Trump news just for, for a thing, and it's all Kamala Harris. And I've been saying that on the podcast. Like, it's unbelievable. Everything that I look up now, everything that I search for is all fact checked. All the other information has been buried, and it's all, no, this is good. No, we're checking this. No, this is good. This is good. This is good. You can't find anything, even on DuckDuckGo.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
what
those
I
ones, it's that's all gone.
Yeah, it's gone. I mean, the only thing about DuckDuckGo is it's not tracking your searches, supposedly, and storing that. But it doesn't mean they're not controlled by the same search engine giants who do the AI and the algorithms and everything. They don't have any – they don't do anything differently there. So it's not going to help you find anything that you're trying to – I was just trying to search these UK riots, and guess what comes up? The counter riots. I'm trying to get information about the counter riots of the anti-racists, because now they're making it like about the riots being all racist people, and they're all far right wing people. And, you know, so that's all the cover up now, and you can't get any real news about it. So there's,
I was just talking about that last night, Shannon. Yeah, the counter protest has come up, and according to the UK papers, it's the biggest counter-protest seen in living memory, and there's a thousand people. There's a thousand people, but and there's not one British flag, not one English flag. There's only a couple of Palestinian flags, and they're all leftists. They've got their LGBTQ plus I flags and their UN flags, and the UK media are saying the evil white extremists, like the extreme right, they've been crushed. They're finished. They've been crushed into stone. They've been pulverized and they've blown off in the wind, because this new counter mob, who aren't left or who aren't right, but they're really left, they've come up through the middle, and they want mass migration. They worship Starmer. They love communism. They hate British white people. They want migration to come in from all over Africa and all over the middle. They want them to come in. They want to kiss them. They want to make them cookies and give up their houses. And they hate British white people in the working class. And these are the biggest counter protests in living memory. It's horizon to horizon, Shannon, of people out there. And it's like 1,000 people.
Yeah.
But don't worry, I mean, the media want you to think in the UK it's huge.
And it shows you what the media, what they're...
Oh, my God.
They're just so obvious about it. They want the immigration. They want the invasion. They want, you know, the crowding and then poverty and the fighting and the non-assimilation of these people, so that there's just more tension. And, yeah, I think the British in Britain, it's like the whites are already like a, you know, minority. So
they've had enough, Shannon. That's what it
they
is.
They don't have minority rights. Like, everybody else, minorities supposedly get rights. Now the whites, when they're the minority, they don't have any rights.
Minority, they had enough. And it's two-tier policing. They're completely letting these Muslims run around. I've seen the videos. They're holding machetes and knives in the middle of the day. They're allowed to do whatever they want, but and they let it go. But it's true. And it is two-tier policing, and it's coming up in the British media. They're exposing it. They're admitting it. We know that this is white genocide. Let's call it what it is. It's white genocide. And they're pushing these people out of their own countries. And they're bringing in all these Muslims and all of this. And because the videos are going up so much on X and these places, they don't like it. They don't like people seeing what's really going on. So now they're making threats.
I actually know somebody, I know a journalist in Germany personally, who's German, and he's been a reporter all his life. You know, he's older than we are. And he noticed, I don't know, it was like at least 10 years ago this started or more, that he couldn't, they start having a lot of crime, you know, against locals from immigrants, you know, immigrants beating or stealing from or raping or whatever, you know, locals. And he was ordered not to report, or when he reported on it, he couldn't mention the fact that they were immigrants.
That's right.
And you're not allowed to say that because that's not fair to them or something, you know, and people might get the wrong idea about them being a threat or whatever.
It's racist, Shannon. You know, when you've got
to say the truth of just what's happening. He's just being a reporter and trying to report on it. He couldn't believe that, like, you know, he's being told he can't say tell the truth. So, yeah.
No, you got a huge African man running around Melbourne in the middle of the day, pulling people out of their cars with a machete, or you've got gangs of Somalians attacking people and breaking into their homes with machetes and stealing people's cars. But the media just can't conjure up that idea that they're African. And this has been happening everywhere. They won't say it. They won't say it. And it happened recently in France, in Paris. As before the Olympics ceremony even opened, an Australian woman was gang raped by African men of African appearance. She was gang raped and she screamed and ran into this shop. Some people helped her. One of the offenders came in and gave her a pat on the back in front of the cameras. This is how brazen they are. Yeah. One of the offenders that just raped the woman like a few minutes ago came into the shop. It was like a kebab shop. She came in there screaming. Her clothes were torn. She was frantic, and the guy came in, gave her a tap on the shoulder, and then when she said he was one, he ran away. But this is what's happening. Australian athletes had their cars smashed, their luggage stolen, film crews were had their stuff stolen. This is what happened. So they turned Paris into this kind of military steel wire thing where no one's allowed out of their villages or out of the main shops because these attacks are happening in the most safest area where the Olympics are happening, and they've got the biggest deployment of military and police in the country's history. So imagine how bad it is normally.
Yeah.
And so it's just crazy. That guy has turned Paris into a third world nightmare. That's what he's done. And the Australian London, media too. And the world media, they couldn't say that it was African when the girl was telling them they were African, but they just couldn't say it was a group of men. They're African.
Yeah. And that's, you know, with these UK riots, it's the same thing. There was, search engine articles that came up from all the usual sources, BBC and New York Times and everything said, it's online misinformation caused these riotings because people thought it was a race issue and that it was like Muslim or whatever, but really the guy is from Wales and his parents are Rwandan. Oh, so he is African. So he's African. They don't, you know, but like that has, you know, so there's no race thing involved, but he is African, but he's from Wales, but he's African, you know?
Well,
so
yeah, it's a very obvious plan, Shannon. If you have a look, just flood Western countries, cities with, you know, for decades and decades with these, you know, Africans, these violent people from violent backgrounds, no checks, just like Biden's doing, flooding them into these communities and Muslims with mosques. Look, it just doesn't work. It's never going to work, and it's always going to turn around and bite you. Something is going to happen, but it's a perfect plan to do what they've done in the UK, just to the point where some of these small towns over there are like 40% Muslim now. They've got mosques everywhere. And then just you got this, it's like dry kindle. And then you just you just set the fire off. And what happens? Well, it's divide and conquer, you know? The locals fight these guys and everyone in between fights each other. The media lie about everything. And it just becomes this massive mess. And the people who are behind it never get exposed, and those are Zionist Jews. Let's be honest, they are. They're Zionists. That's who's behind the mass migration. But these global elitists, as they call them, and all these mega wealthy families and rich people, they never get looked at for doing this. I mean, Barbara Spector in the US, she admitted that's how they bring down Western countries. And then if you do have countries that don't do it, they demonize them, like Poland. You know, they demonize these people.
Right. If you think about it, if people had just come into your country in any other way, you know, say with weapons, you'd call it an invasion. If there were that many people suddenly coming from a different country into your country, especially when they're illegal as well, you know, like it happens.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, that's an actual invasion, which you should be defending yourself from.
Holy cow. Yeah.
Like, I mean, this, you know, open borders here with just Mexicans spilling in and, you know, and like, you know, usually like I mean, I don't generally have a problem with Mexicans. Like, I go to Mexico and, you know, we're usually friendly with each other. But when you end up having like that mass, you know, illegal, like, and first of all, it's like, why are illegals allowed to just come in here? Like, they're illegal immigrants. Why is that being permitted? Like, we can't, I can't just illegally go to other countries and go there when I want to, you know, I've got to go through. In fact, you know, it's very difficult as a white person to get accepted into, especially another like predominantly white country. It doesn't allow you to, even if you have ancestors from there, you're not allowed to immigrate there. I used to try to, I was trying to immigrate to New Zealand. It was impossible. It was like, yeah, I couldn't immigrate to your country. You probably couldn't immigrate here.
It's brutal. The checks and balances and the visa conditions, and they send good, they send good people home. They send them home. Yeah. But yeah, these, you're like, how the hell are these Africans just walking around like attacking shops, and how'd they get in? But I saw a video, Shannon.
In Minnesota here in Minneapolis with the also Somalians. Is that Somalians?
They're coming into Europe. But I saw a video, Shannon, and I can't confirm it, but it was on these beaches in Spain, and they had like all these African looking people that looked like they'd come off some boat, and they were opening up packages, and they were taking out a package, opening up, there was a new mobile phone, they were turning it on. They had clothes in there and everything, and people were saying that they're given instructions where to go and what to do. And I can't help but think they are, and that they're deliberately causing trouble to tear everything down. You know, that's what these so-called global elitists want. They're globalist rats. That's what I call them. But maybe that's what they want. Maybe they don't want all of this anymore with the Great Reset. If they're going to build, if they're going to have smart cities, and they're going to hurt everyone there and off the lands and everything, you know, and they're going to kill a large amount of the population through these lethal injections and stuff, and have people in a, you know, in these cities, like in a sardines, you know, in these stack a pack high tech micro apartments where you don't own anything anymore and everything's allocated to you by the state and you rent everything, then why would they need all these things that we've built? Maybe they don't, you know, Klaus Schwab and his little buddy said that, you know, we don't need, thanks for the Industrial Revolution, but it's all AI now. We don't need you anymore.
Well, there's a couple things going on, I think.
Before you start, though, Shannon, I don't see how it's all going to work. In my book, I'm like, how are they even going to achieve this?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot. So one thing I've been learning too, studying about, you know, energy sources, and is that AI is a huge energy consumer. And it's just going to be more and more of one, and to the point where we just can't, there's not really a good plan on how that's going to be supported. It may just all fall apart, because one thing I read is that we don't have enough copper they need more copper for that. And because people don't think, when you're using the internet, it's not, the energy you're using isn't confined to the battery in the device that you're using to go online. There's no cloud. The cloud is fields of servers and buildings that require a lot of energy, a lot of energy, like way more energy than a normal building requires, because you've got computers that need air conditioning and a lot of power. So this goes for like servers, for data storage, you know, so, and this is expanding as more people use it more and there's more data, that's more buildings. And more like clearing of wilderness, and you know, more energy needed to support this. So it's like a monster. It's very like hungry, you know, it's like the hungry caterpillar, but it's AI and it's sort of consuming the planet. And so it's really like what it's going to come down to is that the energy, you know, we'll be priced out of energy that we need like to survive, and we'll die off. And that energy is going to go to feed this machine that's almost like the new god, you know, that needs this power. And I really see our world going in the direction of supporting only machines and not people or biology anymore. Because, and I think that's why they don't really care about destroying the wilderness. I think they want to destroy the wilderness because it's just like, they think of, I just was reading something somewhere, and I wish I could remember who the author was of this, but it was one of the elite kind of insiders saying that basically like in from that like kind of elite perspective, in terms of elite meaning like a parasitical entity of like in power right now, it sees like, I'm not even gonna say people, I'm gonna say it sees animals as superfluous, and human life, I guess. Humans to an extent are not, because they've been slaves and they, you know, maybe needs more slaves for a while. But like other animals that we value, that if they're not directly valued in terms of like a from a consumer perspective, so we can look at that as just pure industrialism and consumerism, you know, like and materialism. Like if that raptor or that eagle or that koala doesn't have like a market value, a consumer value of like, you know, food or something or clothing, it's just seen as like some extraneous thing that we don't need and that the world doesn't really need. And so it's just, they don't mind destroying it. You know, like there's no soul involved in this and these decisions. Like the people who are behind all these schemes to me are soulless and they're parasites. And they're destroying our beautiful earth. Like, I think we could really be living in a paradise here, you know, in harmony with nature and each other without these forces that are like antagonizing us, pushing us to these extremes, pushing us into hate, pushing us into poverty, into starvation, into survival mode, you know, where we have to then fight to like just survive. But really, it's going to be between like paying you having electricity and power for your survival needs and having it for the internet, and the internet is going to get it. That's what's happening. You know, AI is going to get it. Like it's getting fed this way. So that's why to me, the internet and the web is still like a web. It's a trap, and it's like entrapping all of us, and it's destroying our earth, because all of these mining projects and all this new energy they want to supposedly need is for this machine, you know, for this beast. Right. So it's not for us. It's never going to be for us. It's never going to make our lives better or easier or clean up our environment. You know, it's just they're destroying. Every time there's a green project, it's more environmental destruction and devastation. And every time, no matter what it is, that's whatever they label green is the opposite. You know, it's always like opposite day with these people with their speech. Right. So it's like always the opposite of what they say. And this is what's going on. And I still am trying to just wrap my head around like what it means in terms of energy and like what it means to just use these devices, where they come from, where they're mined, you know, the slave labor involved in that, like the environmental devastation. And I'm trying not to be a hypocrite, but it's very difficult because we all are kind of trapped in this. And like, I can't talk to you or like educate people without using the internet, you know, using some kind of device. I mean, I do have a computer that's 12 years old and I don't have a smartphone. And that's kind of like the limit of like what I use, you know, power for. And I'm like, oh, great. I have a solar panel and we're off grid. We have solar, but that doesn't mean that solar panel took a lot of resources and a lot of mining and some of it conflict mining. Same with the lithium batteries, you know, so it's like, and they don't last forever. I mean, it would be one thing if like, we were mining more responsibly and these things could last a long time, but the model is for, you know, just to dispose of them to make more profit. So everything's about trashing the planet, you know, everything's disposable now. So, and like, we're going to run out of room just to put our toxic waste, and where are we going to put it? You know, now, oh, they're burning it. Oh, biomass. That's another great green energy thing I've been reading on, you know, which is really burning our forests. They're burning a regular, like, this is on the East Coast here. There's one in Vermont that burns like 30 cords of wood of forest, you know, per hour. And to put that in perspective, we use 3 cords of wood maximum for the entire year for heating our home. And that's 30 in an hour. And then they also use like some other ones are burning things like tires. They're taking like automobile tires and chipping them and burning that, and calling it biomass and calling that green energy. And they're burning like railroad ties with, you know, creosote chemicals on them. And they're burning railroad ties with PCBs on them. And they're calling this all green. That's all called green energy. So that's another lie and another like crazy thing happening. So I think a lot of what's we're going to be going is burning our trash, but calling it like green energy by burning it. which, you know, when you burn a lot of these chemicals, it releases like crazy pollutants and it really causes a lot of air pollution, and, you know, issues for people who are more sensitive to that. I can't be anywhere near trash burning. You know, that's just like sets me off. But yeah, so this is what's going on with the green energy revolution. Oh, but I didn't even talk about infrasound, which I might have talked about a little bit on another show with you a while back, but I've been learning more about that, and that is like inaudible sound. So that's sound below like 20 hertz, which we don't hear, but we feel it. It's a vibration, and it's a disturbing vibration, and it causes like people to feel nauseous, to be dizzy, to not be able to sleep, to get headaches, to have their nose bleed, you know. And it's, so it can happen. It can travel up to like 20 miles away from the wind turbine, because these turbines are so loud. The rotation of these blades, I mean, they also have an audible sound that is harassing to people who live closer and they can't sleep from that. And it shake, and these vibrations like shake their homes and shake their beds, and, you know, and it's like torture. They talk it like about it, like people in your country, you know, who are dealing with living really close to these things are talking about it being like a living hell, and they can't sell their homes because now they're worthless with these things nearby. And they don't know where they can go. And some people have like fled anyway because they realized their life was at stake. You know, so this is a massive kind of like, you know, math that's affecting people. So I think another agenda here with these getting these thousands of these turbines all over the planet is just another electromagnetic field that's going to make people really sick. So it's just another kind of like silent lethal weapon, you know, that's, or not even lethal all the time, but like it definitely compromises your health and tortures you. So it's going to also torture animals. It does torture them. It affects farm animals. You know, they're seeing like deaths. Like one farmer said, I think also again in Australia was seeing, you know, they had farmed the land for 30 years and was seeing like this high mortality rate with the lambs because she had sheep, and then also like deformed eggs from her chickens and things like that. And the other thing, they're targeting farmland there, you know, so it's another attack on food. So you've got the wilderness being destroyed, also farms. They're overtaking farms for these turbines, you know, and they're, again, even if they are near or on other farms and being leased by, you know, there was an incident of like a couple who actually decided to get paid to like host, you know, like 19 turbines on their farm. I think they're maybe cattle ranchers, and this is in Queensland. And they actually, even though they were getting $200,000 a year, they regretted it. And they said it was the worst decision of their lives. They felt like they were tortured. They couldn't sleep. You know, they couldn't block the sound out, and everybody was like miserable, and they were like now fighting them. But they, so, you know, so people, and the wind industry likes to pretend that, you know, the people who host them are not the ones complaining. They're super happy about that. It's only the jealous neighbors who aren't getting paid that are like complaining, and they're making it up, you know. And they also refuse to acknowledge some of them. These companies are saying they don't produce any infrasound. Like some like to compare it to natural infrasound, like ocean waves. And it's just like walking along the beach, you know, and by the ocean waves. And of course it isn't, because it's not a natural natural infrasound like ocean waves is soothing. But this is a very different way that this functions. So it's a kind of, you know, and there's actually infrasound. I looked into the weapons aspect. So there are, there's a history of using infrasound weapons. And interestingly, the Chinese, so the U.S. was military said, oh, we kind of worked on that for a while during the Cold War, but we decided to abandon them because they're too unpredictable how they affect people. But that wasn't true, because I found there are still weapons being used for crowd control that involve infrasound. Because think of, even if they, you know, affect people differently, they can call it non-lethal, and enough people will be disturbed by it that, and it's a silent thing. So I think that's like works, you know, to the advantage of like the psychopaths who want to use those. But apparently the Chinese came up with a gun, like a gun shaped infrasound weapon, like a rifle shaped, that they can point at you and direct at you. And they just, they unleashed these things in 2019, right before, guess what happened in the world, right? They got their army ready with these infrasound weapons, you know, made sure all their Chinese armies had infrasound weapons to deal with the crowds, what they were anticipating, I think, for, you know, protests with the lockdowns. So I'm sure they use those judiciously down there. But so yeah, it's been studied and used as weapons. And this is what, and then the industry tries to deny there's any health effects or that anybody could possibly be disturbed by this stuff. And they wouldn't even measure them themselves. So of course it had to be independent researchers saying like, look, there's a, it does like, you have, you know, you can measure it. There are meters that measure infrasound and prove that it is coming from the turbines. Because like say, oh, it's just from trees or something else. But what they've done is like when the turbines are not operational, you know, you do that reading and then you do the reading when they are and you do readings inside the home. Because what happens with infrasound is it actually like amplifies in buildings. Like it could be better outside your building, your home, than in your building. So once it's in the building, it amplifies, it bounces around and it's like more of a torment, you know, thing. So yeah, so they try to deny it. They try to pretend it's inconsequential if it is happening, and of course it isn't. And so this is another factor with, I mean, if you're going to have these all over the place, like, and the infrasound travels that far, and you can't block it. It goes through mountains. Like it's not something you can block out. So it's just another like source of electromagnetic radiation of some kind that's, you know, making people sick and animals sick. And but that's just not being considered. And then with these offshore turbines, you know, they do these surveying for years. They've been surveying our coasts and killing whales. There was actually a researcher on the East Coast that has this, like, he's a software engineer. He's like one of the best in the world in terms of like a certain kind of computing, you know, thing. And he actually came up with this whole program to prove that it was this surveying boats that were directly killing whales, because suddenly when they started doing the surveys in 2016 is when they saw a spike in whale deaths. And so to date, he said he's estimated on the East Coast alone in our country, there's been like almost 500 whales killed by the sonar, because the sonar blasts like deafen the whales, and a deaf whale is a blind whale is a dead whale, basically. Right. So that's why they're like such a casualty with these. And so who knows how much damage just the surveying is doing in our oceans. I mean, there's one example. But then you're going to have these deep sea cables carrying EMFs that are going to harm, you know, more wildlife in the oceans. And they're these chains that kind of drag across the ocean floor and upset the sediment. And that kills fish, too. And then it messes. Then the turbines rotating mess with the upwelling currents. And then you've got the oil that lubricates the blades that drops into the ocean. And you've got like the paint peeling off these things that have, you know, chemicals in them. And then, of course, when they break and there's debris all over the oceans, that's another problem. And then you have to build more transmission lines to carry the power from these things onto land. So you're going to have more power lines. Yeah.
They need power lines. Isn't it
more
stupid?
Power lines. More it's, power lines.
You can't believe your eyes. You just shake your head in disbelief at these people.
It's yeah.
So and in Australia, they're right where the whales migrate up from the south coast up to the north, you know, right in that passage.
And the same here. And that was what's happening on the East Coast is their migration route.
Oh, my God. With those cables sticking out everywhere. I mean, yeah. And this guy in Australia, Chris Bowen, this guy is such an idiot. He ordered in like a $250,000 electric ute, and you can see him there like posing next to it. He thinks that the tradies are going to buy these, you know. And these people are so detached from reality. They live in a bubble, you know what I mean? And whether they're probably directly invested, so all these politicians, they invest in the batteries and all this and the whole industry, but they're so detached from reality and what is actually real and what is going on in this country and what people really want and what concerns us, they just completely live on another planet. And it's just unbelievable. The one here on the south coast, that cannot go through. That cannot go through. It's on the south coast of Sydney. It's a magnificent area. Nobody wants it. It's a disgrace that they're going to put those things off our shore. We've never had that here. We've never needed it in this country, where our country has 25 million people and we've got like unbelievable reserves. I mean, we have more gas than anywhere else in the world, even the Middle East. you know, but we don't make anything from it. They just give it all away. It's like everything's taken from us here. If you look at Middle Eastern countries, they have high taxes, tariffs on using these resources, you know, and it goes back into the country. And that's, but here we don't get anything. They China, all these countries, they just rip this place apart, they take it, and then we buy it back in forms of pieces of crap. That's what we do. And we don't produce anything here anymore and make anything when we could be doing everything that we have, everything that we need here. Every single person living in this country should be wealthy. We should not have any problem here, but look, we just look at what we're doing, and it's all because of these governments. And here they are standing up there living in a dream world. They have no clue. And it's just, it's unbelievable that they would even, I can't believe what's going on and how fast it's happened.
I know.
It's just the worst thing. It's a nightmare. I wake up in the morning, I think this was all a nightmare, and people are just, but what you were explaining there before is really insidious if you think about it, you know, because I'm watching some independent politicians are saying, wow, we just drove through Victorian highlands and there's all these thousands of wind farms, but there's no wind.
Yeah.
And so they've got to go back to the normal grid. So what happens when there's no wind? They need to go back to our normal grid while the Greens and Bowen and these people are trying to demonize warming your home with gas, natural gas, these things, having just basic electricity. But if we did it the right way, we would have more than enough and we wouldn't have to destroy the planet around us. But it's all done by design. But what you were saying there is, it's really insidious, because you think, wow, you know, like people are being herded off, like they can't live around these big swooshing turbines. Yeah. So they're leaving the area, probably going back to towns and cities.
Yep.
What a way to kind of herd them away off the land, because you don't want to live out with. So all the, if I look forward, this is what these maniacs want. They want smart cities with populations in the smart cities, and they want the rest of the land empty with all this tech.
That seems to be what they want. Pollute it with something that tortures humans and animals and destroys the environment. Because I also, where we lived in Arizona, we got driven out of there because of the smart grid coming in. But we also would have had to left because of power lines, because since we've left, so there was a fight, it's like about a 10-year battle against these megalithic power lines coming through our valley that, you know, some of the people we lived near didn't really believe in like the microwave thing, and they think smart meters would be a big deal, but they definitely understood power lines to be hazardous to health and to wilderness, you know, because also just the roads that have to be made, the whole construction process of it. And this is one of the last like really intact, it was riparian areas and especially in the southwest of the country where there was a lot of wildlife. I mean, I saw bears and mountain lions and jackrabbits and coyote and javelina, which is like we call it a skunk pig, and Gila monsters, a kind of lizard, and rattlesnakes. I mean, I've never in my life seen so much wildlife anywhere. And they're putting these megalithic, crazy power lines through there. Plus, they've got the smart grid now with 5G on it as well. And they didn't have any radio frequencies before. And people are saying, oh, these birds are dying. It must be bird flu. Oh, what's going on with the birds? You know, they're noticing that. And now there's helicopters every day, helicopters involved in this power line construction, just disturbing everybody's peace all day long, helicopters. And I know one man in particular who's fighting this so hard, who lived there, that he died of cancer early because he just really like ran himself into the ground and got really sick. It took a huge emotional toll on his life trying to stop these things. And it went through anyway, because that was one of Obama's wonderful ideas. That was part of his like whatever $100 billion stimulus for green energy. That's supposed to be green energy, by the way. That destruction happening in that valley with those power lines is part of the green energy grid. It's supposed to carry some energy from some of the wind turbines, but really it's like carrying from all kinds of sources, coal and gas and the turbines. Like, you know, the turbine energy and solar energy is going to always be a small portion of this. It's always like there's always going to be more. Every time they're doing a new green energy product, they have more natural gas being used, so-called natural gas, which could be from fracking, where they dump 600 different chemicals into the water, you know, while they're extracting it and calling that green because it's called natural. You just put the word natural in front of it. You put the word green in front of it and everybody believes it's good for us. It's amazing, you know, how quick, easily you just use language to manipulate people. Nobody does any research to look into it and question if it's really green or natural or not. You know, but like you were saying, we could have, well, there's a lot of things happening here with energy anyway. Like, first of all, I'm pretty convinced that we've had different sources of energy that were not harmful for the environment. And that's all been taken from us, you know, all that knowledge. And then there's the fact that like the way that homes are built nowadays, like, or have been for a while, is not with any kind of energy conservation in mind. They're cheaply built. They don't last long. They're not well insulated. They're not, the windows aren't facing the right way to get any benefit of like the sun and the right time of year, you know, so there's a passive heating kind of thing you can do and passive cooling, and nothing's designed that way. You know, so nothing is being designed. Everything is, all this time they're talking about green everything and sustainability. Everything is getting cheaper and more disposable. Everything. Like, why don't we, if, to me, sustainability means that I could wear my grandmother's clothes and I could pass my clothes down to my granddaughters and they'd be intact. That's how it used to be with clothing. You know, now clothing you can't wear once or twice. You know, I just bought a pair of trousers that I thought were going to be good. And like there, I washed them and the dyes all ran out immediately. And it's just a piece of crap. It's like, it looks like a napkin. It's like, it's made like a napkin.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like,
they make it look nice in the stores though, don't they? Like when you see in the shop with the lighting, it looks perfect, but then one wear. Like,
what is this? It's not even going to hold up at all. I mean, it's not even clothing. It's like,
it's rubbish. So,
and And so there's just, so how is this? I actually had this, so there was this one company I was buying some clothing from online that was like organic, you know, cotton, at least. Not that the dyes are organic, but at least the cotton's organic. So maybe there's something good there. But they had some decent prices and styles and, you know, and it was decently made. And this was years ago. And then suddenly it's just their quality went down. And I was like, what's going on with this? I'm like, I returned some. I'm like, this is crap. Like, this isn't what it used to be. You've changed something. You know, I bought this same thing like years ago. And they're like, no, we really stand by our quality. We give to our best to sustain, and they're supposed to be sustainable and eco, blah, blah. And I'm like, how is this sustainable? And then she actually had the nerve to tell me, like this customer representative, that if my clothing, I can't even say it, it's too funny. If my clothing wears out quickly, I could use it for, instead of throwing it away, they recommend I use it as a rag. So that's the environment.
Yeah.
I said, well, I do use them as rags already, but I shouldn't be having to use my clothing as rags. It's pretty expensive rags to be buying, you know, get a few wears and then I got to wear, use it as a rag so I don't destroy the environment. How about not destroying the environment by not constantly having to make new clothing, you know, and just, you know, just using up resources like that. So nothing has actual sustainability in mind or actual energy conservation in mind with anything we're doing right now, with anything we make and anything we live in. It's not designed that way. You know, so we could be doing that, but we're not. And so this just shows you that the people in power are not focused on that. They're focused on quick profits at our expense, period. You know, and then they act like there's this energy crisis and it's like, well, you're wasting it, you're constantly wasting it. Everything, the way it's delivered, the way people, I mean, the problem is the grid itself and the way it's delivered, the power lines is wasteful. We really should be able to get it ourselves from where we live, either with some kind of solar thing or, you know, a small wind mill, not a wind turbine, hydroelectric from a creek or something. Like all of these are really like not, you know, on an individual small scale are not a big deal. And we could make it so it lasts. I mean, sure, there's all kinds of things we could be doing we don't even know about. But it's, yeah, this is how it is for us. And this is how we know we're, you know, prisoners or slaves or something, because we're constantly lied to, we're fed lies. And, you know, they go ahead and they approve all these things without, they don't care if we say we protest or not. People are constantly protesting these things. They still put them out. They just still do them. You know, they still make them. Like, they allow us to have public comment period with most of the public not even knowing something's happening. And then everybody is saying, this is a crazy thing. We don't want this. And they do it anyway.
Mm.
So like, that's their like kind of token, you know, democracy voting thing, and it's not the truth. So this is where, anyway, it's just like, yeah, it's
it's just things.
But yeah, but we're gonna have this offshore stuff out here soon. Like they're trying to do this really soon, and most of the locals here, nobody knows. And even if they don't have it right outside our bay, down the like coast from us, they're gonna be carrying their transmission lines through here. You know, there's gonna be just these crazy transmission lines everywhere, which is just another nightmare for people like me to keep trying to escape this stuff and can't find anywhere. You know, I'm just trying to stay away from these EMFs, and it's like, yeah, like you said, we were just talking before the show, you went away and you got away from this for a while and you could tell the difference when you came back and how you felt. And most people don't have that luxury of telling the difference. And I think that's, they don't really want any of us to have that luxury ever, to know that we could feel better outside of their mesh, their grid, their net, whatever you want to call it, their trap, you know, they're trapping us in it. So they don't want us to have anywhere to go to anymore. And it just, and I just, they have the machines, they have the money, they have the equipment to just go and like bulldoze our beautiful wilderness everywhere and not give us anything left. You know, it's just, it's amazing. And they don't seem to care about nature. I don't know. So again, like psychopaths, right? They're in charge, so they don't care. But yeah, they can even relate probably to people like us who really care, who it breaks my heart to see this happening, you know. But yeah, so
yeah, it's true. Yeah, and as we always say, human beings are being used by this system to work for all these companies. They just lose sight of who they are. They don't even seem to have a soul anymore, and they work strategically and tirelessly to just destroy everything around us. And I never want to see it or admit it. You know, most of them are just gone. You know, they're just food for the system. I do believe it's a predator type system. It almost seems like, yeah, like this system, it's a predator, but it's as you were saying before, it's parasitic in its nature, you know, and everything that they do is inverted. Everything. So all their language, as you said, is inversion. So everything, they put these nice names on things, but it's always ugly and it's always bad and it's always destructive. But they tell you that it's good in their wording. So every single thing, if you just look at everything that they do, this system does and these governments do, and you see it as inversion, then you can quickly find your answer. Because really, yeah, you just got to do the opposite. You know, if you do the opposite with everything that they say, and you look at what they're doing and you look at it in an opposite way, it has to be right, because everything they do is inverted. I think there's only the two ways. There's going this way, which is the proper way, or is their way, which is always inversion. And they do it so well. And this is what these companies do. And the governments do. They sell it constantly through their lying corporate media press, you know, that all these things are good for us and we need them and it's good for the environment and all of this. But yeah, so destructive. And as you were saying before, like just things like gas, you know, they have to make it so much worse by fracking. There's so many, like, you look at the technology they claim to have. They always claim that the technology is becoming softer on the environment, that it's becoming greener, that it's better now. But the way that they're doing things is so destructive that it's only become worse in my book. But they tell us that everything's so green now and it's so good, you know, like you mentioned with Obama. And I remember Jim West. People can go to havoa.org. That's Jim's website. He did a great article on the New York measles outbreak and how these clusters of people, how the government and the media said that they had this measles outbreak and they tried to vaccinate everybody. And he talks in that article about how in New York they were burning this fracking fuel, and he traced the winds that were blowing it right across people's apartments, skyscrapers, things into like people's communities. And these are all the communities that supposedly got measles. So this is the same thing with with all these so-called bullshit viruses and diseases, they always go straight for the viral thing when they don't look at the environmental part of it. Same thing happened with polio and DDT.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just spray the population with stuff that, which is pretty much Agent Orange. And when they get sick and twisted up and die off, you know, I will just say that it's a virus and we'll invent a vaccine for it and we'll cover over for the big heavy pollutions, the big industry that's polluting all the water and the land and the table water and the underground water and everything that the animals are eating and all the farms. And we'll cover all that over by saying it's a disease. You have a viral outbreak and we need this jab in your arm to fix it. They've always done that. You know, pollute the water, pollute the land. And then when people get sick, blame it on a virus. So he clearly tracked that. And the fact that they were burning fracking fuel around a major city with winds that were carrying it into areas where high dense populations live and then calling it measles because people have got rashes all over their face.
Oh, yeah.
This is what I've been trying to tell people lately. It's always environmental with your kids, with yourself. If you're getting these symptoms, look around you. Stop going for the bullshit virus thing because that ain't real. You can't catch or spread anything. Look around you. What were you exposed to? What are they spraying? What's going on in your environment? Do a bit of bloody research.
Yeah.
And stop going for the easy, it's a virus. Take this antibiotic, inject yourself with that. It's just the medical industry have built themselves up into an empire because of these lies, you know, making people sick. But they also cover for big polluters. And, you know, that was an interesting piece because I didn't even think about that. And when Jim put that out, I was like, holy crap, you know, burning fracking fuels. So they're fracking for gas, setting down these chemicals, all this stuff, and then they're taking that and then they're just burning it in our cities and towns. This is the kind of stuff they do, and they get away with it. And when people in areas, because, you know, it ain't a virus. If it was a virus, everyone would get it. When you've got clusters of people getting sick, you've got to worry about what those people have been exposed to. Oh, yeah, just blame it on medical-related, you know, a virus. Blame it on this. You know, have this, take that potion, have this pill. It's always been like that, and people fall for it time and time again. It's a very heavy, wasteful industry, and especially what we've grown up with. You know, they've really pumped it out, and people have always been sick throughout time, but they've not seen the real cause of it, you know. So it is a very destructive system, as you said, but they put a nice tone on it. Like they're doing just by calling, as you said, clean energy. That's it. They're done.
They say clean energy, and we're clean done. Nobody questions it. And it doesn't matter that there's still so-called natural gas being pumped into the same thing that's supposed to be, you know, the green thing. Also, the biomass, especially, they're burning. It's an incinerator. So sometimes it's wood. Sometimes it's this other chemical stuff. And they're burning this and calling it green. And this stuff is going, I'm sure, causing a lot of illnesses. Suddenly they'll call it a virus. You know, and if we see like mass animal die-offs, they'll either call that a virus or call it global warming. And they won't say anything about these green energies, supposedly, that has anything to do with it, you know, that is supposedly there to save us from the
poisoning.
Climate.
Poisoning everyone. And also you mentioned the infrared, but with Jim's work and your work as well, we have ultrasound. I've just met some mums recently and they're getting a bit suspicious of it. And I said, look, I'll send you some links. Please just read them. Don't go off me and just let me know what you think. You've got a baby growing inside your stomach. It's important because they're starting to feel a little bit weird about it. And I said, look, it's ultrasound. It's basically was developed for war. This is not safe. This is not clean. The technicians are telling the mums while they're rubbing this stuff on their stomach and putting these wands there that this is completely safe, it's completely clean, and everything's okay. No, it's not. This is war on an unborn child. You know? I mean, that's what it is. You know? And that's one that's very hard to get into people's minds. You know, they understand the vaccine thing.
They think they have
not wanting to do that, but
they think this is good for because you'll catch some kind of problem early or whatever, you know.
We've never needed it, Shannon. I mean, why do you need hundreds of ultrasounds? It's crazy.
Think about how long we've been around without, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure the natives never got them, you know. They just had babies. But
yeah, as Jim says, you know, they have one, they have two, they have three, especially in the first trimester or whenever it is, and then the problems start, or they say there's a problem, and then they got more. It's turning the baby into mashed potato.
Oh,
I mean, really? And as you know, and that's that, and people are saying they're noticing that the baby in utero is turning away, trying to turn away from the wand, so they've got to stab the wand in there, and they've got to try and get those photos, you know. Of in utero, you know, and I'm saying that's because, you know, it's this huge, this terrible noise.
Yeah.
It's being radiated. It's radiation. It's terrible. It's like a huge noise, a screeching noise, and the baby's trying to get away from that thing.
Trying to get away. It's just like, it's almost like we're talking about the wind. Yeah, like you're saying the wind's turbine.
Same thing. It just reminds me of what you were mentioning there.
Yeah, torturing them with the ultrasound. And
it's
yeah,
the same thing.
I mean, and it's true. All these evidence of people saying as soon as they put the wand on and they're looking for the, and they're like, why is, and they'll say, what? Oh, he keeps turning around on us. He won't face us. Like, he's always being so shy or something. It's like, no, they're freaked out by it. They're trying to escape. And like, that's what you're seeing happening. It's, insane.
They're sick. They're sick. Who would attack an unborn child with technology to make them genetically sick, you know, to destroy their genetic makeup? You know, so the baby comes out, looks okay, but there's all sorts of problems. And as Jim mentions,
if it's not stillborn or right.
Well, yeah, and there's so many problems, but if the baby does come out okay, then, you know, you get vaccines. These act as triggers, as stresses. Yeah. And this is what I believe causes autism. And I think Jim and these people have proved it. And people who are, and Janice and stuff, they've actually didn't make sense to me, autism, and now it does. With this attack, who would do that? Who would conjure up this black magic technology to attack a human being that hasn't even been born out of its mum yet? I mean, that is absolutely satanic. It's evil, and these people are working in this industry because they're being brainwashed through these medical bullshit schools that this is all safe and it's perfectly fine for mum, you know. But this is war. This is war on human beings before they haven't even been born yet. So the war starts from within, and then they just attack them when they come out through the medical system and all these interventions, and people wonder why the kids are not well, or they got autism and these things. So it's a crazy world. Thank God people are starting to get it a little bit anyway. We've been trying to put the information out for years. I can't believe that someone like Jim is in Arizona and he's not doing any more work. You know, why won't the autism foundations read his work? Why won't they talk to him? They're always looking for a cure. They're taking our money. People are having all these fundraisers for autism. We've got to help the children. We've got to help the children. Why won't you look at these people's work? Why won't you look at another approach? Why do you just keep taking money for cancer? You know, how much money have people given for cancer, but they're still taking it and there's no cure? It just goes on and on and on. People are gullible. It's unbelievable because children are involved and the system milk your goodwill as a person. But people are unable to think critically as what is going on. It could be this, could be that. No, they get sucked up in the whole emotional side of things. It's the children. The children are sick. You're mean. You're cruel. You're a terrible person because you're questioning all of this. No, I want to find answers as to why children are sick in such large numbers. And the Sydney and these children's hospitals, they're coming out of the windows because there's so many sick children in there when they should be out playing and thriving. Why are kids sick?
Yeah.
Oh, no, raise money, raise money. We want money. Have a big cup of coffee. Have a big morning tea. Give us more money. Go on a marathon. Run here. Jog there. What's the answer here? You haven't come up with any. Kids are sicker than ever. What is it? Is it what's happening around us? Is it the whole machine around us that's doing it? You know, is it the interventions, the medical stuff? You know, but no, they just get too emotional, Sharon, and they don't see because there's children involved, you know. And I understand it's terrible, but we can't get any answers like that, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, it's you bring up some great points today, and it's one of those things. This is what this is how the Green Party's got in, who are communists and who work directly with the United Nations and the IMF and Klaus Schwab and these people. They're traitors. But the people
constantly think that the Greens are here to protect the wilderness and the koalas and the environment, and they don't see who they really are. You know?
I know.
They're starting to, which is good. They're starting to. But, you know, boy, you guys in the US are in trouble too.
Yeah, I mean,
they're just stuff. They're just not stopping.
Relentless. It's crazy how many, like I said, I think it was, I want to find that again, how many projects are under review right now or permitting. I couldn't believe the number. It just didn't even make any sense. But, you know, in terms of that biomass incinerator, I heard that you'd have to burn all of the trees in the whole continental U.S. to power the country, to power the country for a year. Doing that
this
for 1 year, and it would have no trees left, and so that makes a lot of sense. That's called renewable. That's not renewable. That's insane. And now they need like so many hundred, they think they need like tens of thousands of turbines spinning everywhere, and you know how many, I don't know, hundreds of acres of solar panels, which are also just another, we could talk about another time, but same kind of disaster involved. And they were grinding up Joshua trees are like our redwood trees, and that they're like, you know, could be thousands of years old. They're a lot smaller because they grow only like a few inches a year. And they're just ripping up these Joshua trees to make way for solar panels. And they're grinding them up into chipping them right there on the site, just so they don't want to like show, you know, kind of carry them out because people were so upset about it. And the company has the audacity to say, but we're replanting. They said we replanted every single one of the ones that we destroyed in our nursery. In our nursery, we replanted them. And it's like, again, takes thousands of years. These were hundreds and thousands of years old. And you think it's okay because you just planted some new ones in a nursery? Like, what are you high on? Are you totally insane? And then these solar farms are just, they just like end up decommissioned after 10 years too. And they just made more, you know, barren wasteland. And it's like, now it's just a sand dunes because nothing could grow there. And, you know, I mean, these things too, when you get a lot of them together, they'll set birds on fire flying.
Oh yeah. I was wondering of the heat generated above.
Yeah. Birds on fire. It's like, yeah, that's a great thing to do too, you know? Yeah, just wonderful.
Just exploding birds, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this is okay. This is somehow okay. I mean, this is like, I just watched this clip. There's a really good film. You should probably post it. Maybe post the link on your site. It's because it's on YouTube, I think. I think it is. I was able to download it somewhere, but I think it's on YouTube. It's Planet of the Humans. Have you heard of that one?
I don't think so.
It was from 2020. It's a documentary going into all this, kind of a lot what we're talking about. I haven't actually watched it all yet. I just started yesterday. But there's a lot of good information there and videos. And it was a guy who really thought, like, kind of like I did a long time ago, like, yeah, green energy, he was an environmental activist, and, let, you know, this is great. But then he starts, like, he heard something that made him, like, go, wait a minute. And then he wanted to look into it more. So he kind of got more into it. I think he was, like, a director, co-director or something with Michael Moore, who's, you know, I have mixed feelings about him, but, you know, famous for like the Columbine movie.
Wanker.
Yeah. But so he like worked with him. So there's definitely like, he doesn't see the whole picture, and he definitely like plays the climate agenda thing in the movie, like climate change thing. But if you look past that, like he's showing how, even if, again, if you believe that, this is obviously not helping, right? It's harming. So he went around the country showing these like decommissioned farms and everything. But he had a clip of our former governor, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, out in the desert. And he actually said, he looked out there and he said, like, many people look around and look in the desert and they say they just see nothing and empty, miles of emptiness, but I see a gold mine. And he did, because he was all excited to announce like their new crazy huge like solar installation out there, which he's calling his gold mine, which it was, because he stole money from us for that, you know. That's how he made his gold. And it's like, so that
the environment
whole thing
must be terminated.
Yeah. And I thought, well, I mean, it was just kind of comical, but also just disgusting, of course.
But I mean, look at him being the governor. It shows you we live in a movie.
Right.
The lines between reality and fiction is totally smashed now. So that's what it is. It's a big movie.
Now we've got Newsom, who's like, you know, not any better.
He's
from he's a WEF alum.
You guys can't get rid of him.
No, we tried. We sued him, and he's just doing crazier things all the time. He's all about this wind, this offshore wind. He's trying to be president. He's like, you know, had an executive order recently to clean up all the homeless encampments in our state, which is a lot. We have the most homeless people in our state out of anywhere in the country. And he wants them just cleaned up. It's a disgrace. It's embarrassing him because he wants to be president and he's embarrassed about these tents everywhere. And guess before, when you'd have to like move out, you know, clean up an encampment, you had to provide the homeless people with an option, with a shelter. But now with the new executive order, you don't have to do that. You don't have to provide them an option. You just move them off. They have nowhere to go. Where are they going to go next? They don't have any homes. Obviously they're homeless. The shelters are overcrowded. There's no shelter for them. Not that shelters are a great place to stay anyway or safe, you know, and you're just supposed to like clear them off. I mean, what an asshole. Why doesn't he host them at his mansion and on his grounds if he's so concerned about, you know, cleaning up the streets of the homeless people?
Yeah, I know, but all the leftists and Hollywood freaks and all these people, they seem to love him. But I was just looking on X, Elon Musk. One of the richest people in the world. He's pulling his operations out of California. He's going to Texas, I think. On the comments there, everybody's saying California's gone. It's fallen. This guy's just lost it. Why would you do any business there? So, you know, like, I mean, that's big for Elon Musk to pull the X out and his companies out of the state. And
well,
apparently Newsom's begging for him to stay. yeah. But I mean, he's putting the money, I guess, in there, but that's kind of ricochet. But just I guess in my book is to see the bad, like how people are talking about the great state of California. Sad for people to see it like that, in that bad light, because of this idiot. You know, it's like what he's doing, what they're doing to other countries and what's happening to Paris. I mean, look at Paris. Yeah. What Macron's done. I mean, I saw a video ages ago, and it was on social media, and it was looking at Paris back in the day, you know, like in the old days, you know, and through and looking at it in the 1950s and 60s and how beautiful and it was. And then it fast forwards to today, and it's just African stuff's on fire. There's graffiti, garbage, of piles of garbage everywhere, polluted water, you know, like an absolute mess. Robbings, muggings, crazy. Yeah. And you look back at this beautiful Paris, you know, where all the lovers in the world wanted to go, where everybody wanted to go on holiday, this magnificent place of people around, you know. It's like Detroit when you look at Motor City and how unbelievable it once was, and then you look at it now and it's unbelievable. I spoke to an urban explorer a long time on the podcast ago, and they go to Detroit and these places and they do the urban underground exploring, and he was telling me about all these skyscrapers in Detroit and picture theaters and, you know, cinemas and skyscrapers and they're just abandoned. It's like a wasteland, like Escape from New York with Kurt Russell or something, you know. It's like a dystopian sci-fi movie. And they even went to that place out of New York, I think the Poconos or somewhere. Mm-hmm. Is that the place where they had that? It was all those like kind of love resorts that they had back in the day, up from New York. And he went there, and there's just all abandoned. There's even bars with glasses still on the counters, you know. They go to theme parks, you know, like old theme parks, and they do. It's quite dangerous, actually, what they're doing. But it's really fascinating to talk to that guy and look at the work that they do and the PDFs they put up and the photos of this huge parts of America that have been abandoned.
Yeah.
And there's just no one there anymore. It's so scary. It's so weird. It's this whole world is gone now.
And yet you've got this like housing crisis. Like, I mean, like homeless, you know.
Yeah, where it's not enough for people to live.
Houses are abandoned. So this is why they're always moving us here and there because of job changes. Everything's always changing. So you can't just count on something. You know, it used to be you could have like multi-generational family farming or doing some other trade and count on that. And nobody can count on anything. You can't count on having a home, a roof over your head. You can't count on a job. You can't count on where you're going to live. You can't stay with your family. So just constant upheaval and constant upburden, which is like another thing that like breaks society apart, right? And destabilizes it.
Yeah, that's
right. And you're constantly like, and technology does this because it's always upgrading. It's always changing. You always have to change the jobs. It's always, they're always somewhere else. And they're always something you have to train for. And you can't just like keep that skill and pass it on to the next generation. You know, it's always being told, like, you're just there as something to use in the pawn, you know, and like to, yeah, to like, well, we're going to skill you. You're going to take another class. You're going to do another job. And like, that's what you get. You don't even get to retire anymore. You know, there's no savings. There's no social security. It's like, that's it. You know, it's a debt economy and inflation economy. So like, and it's always, jobs are always changing. And this is what we have to thank technology and industry for, you know, living like this. Like, and like, we can't even have, I mean, a lot of things our ancestors, even just not that long ago, had, when we considered them poor, is a lot more than we have. They could afford homes. They had houses that they owned, you know, land they owned, and they were considered poor, but they had food, they had good food, and they had shelter that was theirs and a job that was theirs they could count on, you know, and we don't have any of that now. And this is what technology's done for us. This is how advanced we are now, you know.
Yeah.
You're lucky if you get to have a tiny apartment to live in. I mean,
oh.
Children can't leave home. They're just stuck at their family's homes because they can't afford to live on their own. They can't afford to leave the nest. So they don't leave the nest. They never make it out. And then the parents are still like having to support their children into like their adulthood late in life in a lot of cases. So you don't even have the children that you raised to take care of you when you're old. It's like the opposite. But I wanted to mention before we get off that, I don't know if you know, but yeah, California is burning again, of course. Like
I did know. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean I remember once when I was telling you about the fires here, and I said, it was like 100,000 acres, and you were saying, well, we had millions or something, but actually the whole state of California had at least 1 million. It's always like every summer now, it's at least 1 million to a couple million acres are burned, you know, and that's just for our state. I mean, it's a big state, but still, you know, it's a lot of acreage. So they've got this, apparently the biggest fire California's ever had down near Chico. And it's like 400,000 acres now and, you know, declining mega fire. I'm sure they're blaming climate change, of course. What I've noticed is we've had the driest summer we've had since we lived up here where it was supposed to be the rainy Northwest, you know, and like we haven't had rain for months. It's so dry. I mean, I'm struggling to keep the garden happy and alive. Like we still have spring water, but they're just drying it up. It's like, and you know, it's, and anytime it looks like we might get some rain, guess what happens? They get their chemtrails out and reroute it because they don't want us to have rain, I guess. Mm. So no rain here. And, you know, a lot of California, too hot, too dry. And they'll say, it's like, then they'll say, well, we need the wind. If we get the wind turbines in, then we'll fix all this, you know, more solar, no more wind. And that's how we'll, and that's like, that just means more deforestation, which means like more heat and less moisture, and which to me means more fire. But, of course, you know, you never know what you're in for with like this, you know, with the weather machines. They've been manipulating weather since at least the 50s. And now it's just more sophisticated and widespread. And we just cottoned on to the fact because it became more obvious, you know, but apparently I've been looking into this a little bit more, you know, it's been going on since the 50s and there were farmers back then who protested, who saw what was going on. They were more open about it. They used to try to promote it to farmers saying we could help you, you know, we could change the weather, make it into your favor, you know? And they were like openly like, yeah, the weather, they had like a farmers association for like weather manipulation, you know, technology, trying to promote weather manipulation technology. And then the other farmers saw that it wasn't working out well for them, and that they shouldn't, that nobody should be able to control the weather, because it's always going to harm, you know, if it, even if it benefits one group of people, it's going to harm another group of people. And nobody should have the right to do that and the power to do that. But again, it's like, this is what we keep seeing. There's, when these things come in, there's always protest, but nothing happens. They still go through. You know, so it's like, I like to think we can stop it, but history keeps showing us that they do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, people put their bodies in front of machines, and the, you know, the pipelines and all those protests, and, you know, with cell towers too, people, I mean, there's whole countries that didn't want them. Ireland didn't want them. I remember I was there when they were like protesting it, and the people were saying, no, we don't want these things. And guess what happened? Everywhere, you know, all over the place. So. Yeah. Just shows, like, again, we're not living in democracies. We're not living in free countries. If we don't have the ability and right as people to say no to something and then have it actually mean no, you know, no means no. I mean, which is like a good analogy, because, you know, they're raping the planet. So, yeah, it's like no consent here. So that's rape, right? Destroying our earth. So it's like, yeah, they just do it. So that's right. What we're dealing with.
But democracy is an illusion.
Yeah, it is an illusion.
They give us political people and so-called democracy and voting and prime ministers and, you know, and politicians and presidents. And it's all an illusion to make you think that you have, that you live in a free country, that you have a democracy. But no, I mean, it's only when the masses of people stand up, but it never happens because there's just never enough of us. If everybody, what if, you know, when, you know, with upcoming voting, not one person in our country voted. We just don't vote, you know?
Yeah. What would they do then? What would they do? Yeah. How could they say they elected?
What if we all said no to the COVID jabs and not one person got them? What could they do?
They couldn't.
You know, but there's just, it's that thing. There's always enough people that are completely dependent on the system and rely on it to live. And also like having a system, because they're too scared or weak to do anything for themselves.
They get bought out or something, you know, bribe. It's like if people are in, like our local councils, you know, they always are getting bribed. Like,
yeah, that's right.
Always. Like we could do things on a local level in our councils, but I mean, I know for a fact that ours is super corrupt here. And I think they're all corrupt.
Terrible.
All of them.
They're terrible here. They're terrible. They won't let you have a pee on your own property.
Yeah.
You know? But then like they're just so corrupt. If you've got money with these councils here in Australia, they've just been all exposed, all these unions.
Mm.
All these unions are working through the government. They're not letting anybody else in to build anything or do anything. They threaten people, they beat them up. It's all just come out. You know, and our housing industry is being destroyed here. These cowboys are just building this crap everywhere that's falling to bits and leaking. Mm. It's nothing like our ancestors built.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nothing like the houses they used to build here. Thank God there's a lot of them still around. If you come to Sydney and places, you go, wow, there's such beautiful architecture here. Mm. You know, it is really nice, you know, the old double brick places that were built to last forever, to get the sun in this way, to get the wind in that way. There was care and stuff put into them. People used to care about building, and now it's just all Chinese everywhere. They're just everywhere I go, you know, and these wealthy areas, the Chinese are coming and building these monstrosities everywhere. There's no care whatsoever. They're like cardboard pieces of rubbish.
Wow.
And they're falling down everywhere. And there's a massive mess here with the whole building industry. As the, you know, they say that we've got a housing crisis and young people can't even afford a one bedroom unit. There's not even a chance in your entire life you could even pay that off anyway. My parents and our grandparents happily bought their homes and had a great life with their families and never had any stress and loved living at home. And they died at home and they absolutely loved them. They had big homes and they never had stress with mortgage. I'm not saying it was back then it was different, I know, but they still did it, you know. They still did it. And now it's become the impossible. It's absolutely impossible here in Sydney. Forget it. Everywhere now. It's a joke. And
you just have to look at the ratios of like income versus mortgages.
That's right.
And price of automobiles, and it's clear that there's a huge discrepancy there. It didn't used to be that way.
It's crazy. You know?
Yeah.
How are you going to pay off $2 million mortgage with like a few hundred bucks a week?
I know.
And just your shopping. You just go and do a couple of bags of shopping and it's $400.
There
bucks.
It goes. Yeah, that's it.
That Tucker Carlson guy was here doing a tour. I don't really follow him too much, but he said he did a tour here and he was saying, how do you people live here? Because he was comparing like the US dollar to Australian dollar, which is much lower. Yeah. And he was looking at the property prices in Melbourne and Sydney and he's like, holy cow. You know, it's $1 million for a unit. It's $3 million for a house, the food, everything. And he's like, looking at what people make a week, how do you people live on this island? And I don't think any of us know how we do it. We just survive here. I don't know how it's done. But it's but you know, when you look at your expenses, you know, just for us here, you know, just your basic everyday things and your power and your internet and your shopping and running your car and just things, you know, if you've got your kids or kids in school or things like that, you know. I'm like looking at these people buying these homes. I'm like, how on earth? I guess they're buying homes thinking that in the future they're going to be worth a lot more. And that has been true for a while. But sometimes I see these people, I'm like, my God, you're going into a $2 million. Because I work around, I see a lot of old places for sale. Yeah. And I ask, like, how much did this go for? $3 million, $3.5 million, $4 million, $2.5 million. I'm like, hang on, what? Like, how does and you see a family move in there and it's like, how, you can never pay that off with a mortgage.
Yeah.
Ever. Like, so I guess they don't want to. They're just buying it. I don't know what's going on.
Flip it or something. Yeah.
Anyway, it's crazy.
But I mean, that's a gamble, you know, because you don't know, the market could crash, and that happens with housing market bubbles and then they crash. And so, you know, you don't really know that.
We never seemed to have that much in the old days. I mean, people, I know, looking at my parents and grandparents, they always had their home, you know, like that's the first thing they did. Yeah. They went and they were big homes and they were good homes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of Italians do that here. The Italians in Australia, they keep their homes. Mm-hmm. You know, the oldies, the noners or whatever, they get old, they move in with I do see a lot of the oldies, they get too old to live by themselves. So the family move in and they've got plenty of room and they generally die at home and then the family live there. And then they get old and then the other family live there and they keep their houses for generations of people. They don't just look at buying and selling. That's our problem with society. We look at everything as in what, you know, we want to buy everything and and barter for everything, you know, like, and how much is this going to be worth? I don't want to buy this home for a place forever and that my kids can take over and their kids can have. That's what a family home used to be. Now it's, how much is it going to be worth? How much can I sell it for? And that's the attitude that's driven us into this market where we are now, where we're just seeing pieces of shit everywhere that are falling to pieces and no one seems to care about. It's all about, how much is it worth? What's the view? If I stand up on a stool or go up on the roof, can I get a little tiny glimpse of the blue sea? Is that another million?
Yeah.
And the real estate agents are just wankers.
Yeah.
And they've made it worse, you know. They're like predators. I know some oldies that have sold a big home recently and I just did some gardening and cleaned up for them. And they even said, it's just shocking. These real estate people, they come in, they're just like predators and how they're doing it all now, you know. It's really a shame. It's really a shame that as humans, we've changed like that, you know. And now we've got a housing crisis and young people don't have a home to live in.
Yeah.
And they're bringing in migrants. They're saying in the UK now that they're going to start putting migrants into all these abandoned places when locals don't have enough housing. And I saw these articles in Ireland where there's these small communities with 110 people, they want to move a couple of hundred migrants in there.
Yeah.
With no skills, no money.
You have to open up your homes to the Ukrainians.
That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. That's what the government basically saying now. We want you to open up your homes.
I have to open up my home to strangers?
I think that's the narrative now.
How is that like possibly a thing that could ever happen in a free society where like your property rights is supposed to be like everything, right? I mean, yeah, that's what all the sacrifices were for, and the wars, and the
it's crazy.
And was to have property. And this what, you know, and what the U.S. Constitution, it was really like supposed to be rights to not what to say, happiness and pursuit of happiness. It was property rights, actually, was the that was what we were supposed to be entitled to, because you can't be free without property rights is what the idea was. You know, they understood this. So it's like, because you don't have property, you don't have a home, you don't have a job, because it used to be, you know, you'd farm your land and that was your job. And then you had food and shelter and work. And that's why we all, if we all just, real sustainability would be that we all were farmers. You know, all of us would be farmers. There'd be never be a shortage of food. Or, you know, homes or anything like, but, you know, what are we focusing on when we talk about sustainability, taking farm, getting rid of farms and putting up into farm? I mean, it's such an insult to say wind farm, you know, actually use the word farm and solar farm. You know, these aren't farms.
That's right. These are,
you know, you're taking
real farms. Inversion again, inversion. They invert
and
everything.
You do the same thing for biofuel, which is food crops. Using food crops as gasoline, and actually they have to go through refining. Again, you don't actually eliminate the fossil fuels. You just kind of mix it in. You use the fossil fuels to fuel the tractors, to harvest the corn or the, whatever, or the other crops, beets, or, you know, and then you have to go through this whole process, chemical processing refineries, you know, that uses more fossil fuels. And then you suddenly, then you have your end product, which isn't very efficient and which is very polluting, because then you've got like, you know, these, all these pesticides in it, you're burning it. So you're burning all the pesticides, and that's called biofuel. And that's just another way of like taking over food production. Like we're going to put our food into cars and, you know, fuel our cars with food. You know, when people are going hungry, I mean, it's like, it's insane. So just more farmland being repurposed, you know, for again, for machines, it's machines eating our food. It's machines like taking up our farms themselves. You know, it's like a weird, I mean, I just see this as like ultimately when the transhumanism, and it's like a robot takeover, it's AI takeover. Like they're just going to, it's almost like it is an alien invasion of sorts. And they're just going to take all, you know, get rid of biological life and just make it, it's all going to be like, look like the Matrix world when there's like no sun and everything's just machines and like, or Wall-E, that, you know, it's just going to be all be like scrapyard junk everywhere. And no forests anymore.
That's right.
But they really don't think it's a big deal cutting down forests, which take a really long time to grow, which are like the lungs of our planet. You know, it's just not a big deal. It's like they don't see that somehow. It's like, no, the machines need to energy. The machines,
yeah, it's indifferent. It's emotion. It doesn't have any emotions, but they're already dimming. They're dimming the skies, yeah. So we don't get enough sunlight. So,
which is funny that they want to have solar farms. When you look at these solar farms, and then you look at the skies, and it's all clouds.
Yeah, I know. It defeats the purpose.
Yeah,
I mean, the only
reason it doesn't work. Yeah.
The only thing that could be doing that is a Dracula. That's what Dracula does. Yeah. You know, they don't like the light, right. But they show us in the movies what they are. I think. Mm-hmm. So I think we're dealing with something parasitic for sure. You know, but doing all that, yeah. Yeah, it's like in Back to the Future movie when at the end of the movie he comes back to get the guy. he wants to take him to the future because something's wrong with his family, but yeah. The doc gets out and he opens the thing with the DeLorean.
Right?
He's feeding the he's putting food in, food scraps to fuel the car. Yeah.
Oh right. You're
it's
right.
Just funny.
That's true. But he also says doesn't he say you don't want to go to 2020 or something, or
that was 24? A meme. That was a funny meme. He's just saying, Marty, whatever you do, don't go to the year.
Don't go to. yeah, that's what.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
But you're right. He's just putting food in the car. Yeah.
But they also predicted 9/11 as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the film on it, but it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. The Twin Pines Mall and the terrorists and everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've watched it. It's incredible. Yeah, they absolutely predicted. Yeah. And it says 9/11 with upside down. It says 9/11 in the movie. And there's another scene with the old guy upside down and the towers falling. So it was predicted in the two movies.
Right.
In those two movies, Back to the Future, yeah.
Which is great because it's like, the title, it's in the title too. I mean, just the fact. They're showing us the future.
Yeah, right? They do in the movies. They show you, because the Freemasons have to show you through entertainment what's coming, what they're doing, so you consent to it.
Right.
You know? But it goes in subconsciously, but you don't think it's serious because it's just a movie, but you've just done a contract with them.
So if you don't watch the movies, does that mean you haven't consented? They can't say I've consented.
That's right.
If I haven't watched them. I had never saw that. I never had knowledge of that, you know. So
some people do, yeah. But I guess incrementally showing people this stuff in the movies and then decades later when it comes true and it happens, it's not so bad, right?
Yeah,
it's, you know, you kind of knew it was going to happen anyway. You had that feeling.
Right.
That's how they do it, but you didn't say anything. So now you're living it. It's how they get us into this. It's like a hot bath just cooking you, you know?
Sure.
It's very interesting, but I mean, we could go on forever and ever talking about all of this stuff.
It's my bedtime.
It's your bedtime there, and
dinner time, supper.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes, it's really important topics anyway, and I think with everything we've discussed today and what we started off discussing with the turbines, you know, we've kept that common theme throughout the podcast today, and we've brought up some very important things here that I think a lot of people are starting to see themselves, and these conversations are starting to roll. And I've been saying this on my podcast. I think everyone's just been in bed with this system for a long time, and they've believed in government and voting and all of this. They've believed that the system is there in their best interest to protect them. And as people start to wake up and see what's going on here, they realize that they've been in bed with the enemy. And when the enemy sees that people are waking up, then they show their fangs. And I think that's what they're doing now. And I think that's why they don't care. They just say, well, we don't care what you think. You know, you've been going along, you know, with us for all this time since you're a kid and you never saw it. You never saw what we really are. But now that you're seeing it, well, guess what? We don't care. And we're going to just do it in your face now. So I'm seeing a lot of that. I'm just seeing them doing stuff. And they don't care what the human population think. You know, so we can see what we're up against now. And I just think we need a lot of people to see it, because we do get pushback. And I've seen a lot of terrible things go bad. You know, like a lot of plans that didn't work, you know, here in Australia, because too many people push back, and they do come back and try it again later. But, you know, with enough pushback and enough people putting stuff online and enough attention, they don't like that. So they'll back off a little bit. So I feel like there's still a lot of time with everything we're talking about. But boy, it is intensifying as we go forward here. So we just got to keep doing the best we can and getting information out. So anything you want to finish on today?
Oh, gosh. I'm
your work or books or anything you want to tell people?
Yeah, I am working on I'm working on the reason I got into this topic right now with the current book. I'm writing about tech addiction and digital addiction, but I have a couple chapters on like the eco side involved in our tech addiction, you know, like that dark side of it. But also I just have a chapter on the greenwashing, because I want to tie that into like our addiction and how this is like kind of spiraling out of control. But I am going to do a book just exclusively on the issue of like greenwashing too, like that. And I mean I also have that, you know, vitamin book I want to do, but there's three books that I'm kind of working on all of them at the same time. But but I am going to get the tech one out first. We'll see how it goes, but I'm hoping actually maybe by the end of the year or early next year. And my other books you can find on my website, which is wifirefugee.com. So wifi-refugee.com, and my blog and my podcast list and links to the books all in one place. So
really good. And as I said, I put all the copy and paste, all the details and everything. In there for the folks to have a look at. So really good. You've got three arms, writing three books. Writing a book with your right hand, writing a book with your left hand, and you've got an arm come out in the middle, you write another book. And you're just all frantic.
No. I mean, it's more like the research is I have outlines for the other books. I'm writing the one, and the research kind of lends itself to some of the other ones, and I'm kind of setting that aside. So I'm preparing. But I'm focused on this one right now.
You have to go to the Wayback Machines, because
I feel
for people who are researching books, because Google's just all the online internet search systems have just covered everything over. We're really living in dystopian times. They're just covering it's all gone.
Well, once you find one resource though, they usually link to each other, so I think it's almost like alternate kind of internets. Once you just get to that one, you're good. And that's
find
what I'm
other
finding.
Links. Yeah, that's yeah, what I
that's
do.
What I'm
yeah.
finding with there is like a network of activists trying to stop these wind turbines and everything, and they have their websites and they link to each other and to articles and books. So once you get into that, it's like its own internet for that topic, you know, and I think we can keep functioning that way. But it's really difficult to start, you know, if you haven't already got one of those resources, then it can be really challenging, you know, just to get in the door there. But yeah, that's how we'll keep it going. I mean, unfortunately, though, that what that means is the general public, when they're trying, if they wanted to look it up and they if they ever have a question or somebody challenges them on something, they'll go in the search engine and be like, you know, or ask Siri or Alexa or whatever. They'll ask them, you know, like the robots, like, well, what is this, you know, thing about what people questioning this thing about wind energy? And then they'll just get all the industry answers.
Oh yeah, that's a really interesting.
That's the problem, you know, is they're not gonna get like the information we're getting because they're not digging deep enough, and it's really difficult for them to find it. So if it's past a page or two, they're not gonna keep trying to find it, and they're just gonna give up, and they'll say, well, I guess the internet already told me the truth, and the truth is that this is bogus. These claims, these people are climate deniers or whatever. And a lot of them are. The funny thing is, a lot of them are not climate deniers. It's a lot like the vaccine topic, where it was not anti-vaxxers who were saying that these COVID shots were dangerous. They actually got them. They were pro-vaccine, and they just immediately got the anti-vax label for daring to criticize this. So there always is an anti-something label or a denier label ready to go to slap on your forehead if you dare question, you know. So again, it's a lot of these people, activists, are actually like totally bought the whole climate story, you know, don't maybe question any of that, but they know that these energy sources that they're calling green are not. And they're trying to call them out on it. But yeah, good luck trying to just go to like mainstream media about this. You won't find it. It's a blackout. And that just shows you who's funding the mainstream media. I mean, the thing is, it's these oil like tycoons are investing in this stuff. They're just making money off it. They know it's going to actually increase their profits by so many fold, because they're going to still need oil to fuel everything, or natural gas. So they've got those investments and those are secure. That's never going away. And then they've got the subsidies. They get the government, you know, grants and money to invest, to look like they're transitioning and they're investing in the green energies. So you've got like all these like players that have always been in this game that are billionaires. They're just making more money. It's not the good guys doing this, you know. It's the same people. So yeah
very true.
All right, well, thanks.
Okay.
Yeah, I better wrap it up, but thank you so much for having me on again, and as usual, educational but scary, and we're gonna try to keep positive. And again, it's like enough of us like understand what's happening, we can defeat them, you know, power in numbers, but
that's right.
Got to be brave too.
Yeah, we have to have these discussions. So good chatting with you today, and as always, and I look forward to the next one.
Yeah, me too.